What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Worship Fuel Show. My name is Matt McCoy. I'm the host of Worship Fuel. I'm the founder of loopcommunity.com, and I'm really excited today for our guest who's on the show today. It's going to be Hope Darst. Hope is a worship leader, songwriter. I bet you she lives in Nashville. We'll find out in a second. But I do know that she's very much involved at the Belonging Co. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. But a songwriter of ton of Belonging Co. songs. I saw she's a writer on a ton of those. But she also has her own music that's coming out. We'll talk about that. And Peace Be Still is a huge song that she's written on and has recorded. And so I'm sure you've heard of Hope Darst or sang one of her songs. So anyways, I'm excited to talk with her. So let's go ahead and bring in Hope and we'll launch into this.
Looking for affordable, high-quality resources for your church? Check out the app lineup from Worship Tools. You can build sleek service presentations in Presenter, schedule volunteers to those services in Planning, access chord charts and other worship materials in Music Stand, and manage church attendee information with Community.
Hope, so glad you're here.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Did I nail it? Are you in Nashville? You've got to be.
I'm in Nashville. And I actually have a Nashville address. So I'm not like Franklin posing like I'm in Nashville.
Yeah, right. You are actually Nashville. That's awesome.
I am. I'm in Nashville. Yeah. We've lived here. Well, I moved here when I was 19 in 2001. So I'm going on almost 24 years of living here. So it's home. It's home to me. I don't know. Everywhere else I lived as a kid, I only lived there maybe 8-10 years max.
Yeah.
So this definitely is home for me.
It's such a great town. My wife and I live in Chicago, and probably once every quarter we talk about moving to Nashville.
I didn't know you were in Chicago. That is my favorite city in all of the U.S. besides Nashville. I have taken both of my daughters there, like on a little mom-daughter trip. Yeah. It is, we always say it's the smaller, cleaner version of New York.
Yeah, yeah. It's awesome. And especially if you come like during nice weather, summer, fall. Honestly, summer, fall, spring. It's just avoid the winter. But it's amazing.
Yeah, there's nothing like Chicago.
Yeah, the winter's rough, but there is nothing like downtown Chicago with the river going through it and the train tracks. And I mean, it's amazing. But we're here to talk about Nashville. So I also love Nashville. I'm in Nashville all the time for work, but it is a place that my wife and I have talked like maybe we should just move there.
It's a great city. It feels like it gives you all the things that you're looking for. There's lots of food. There's lots of entertainment. There's lots of restaurants and shopping. But there's also like a real deep sense of like family and community throughout the city. Yeah. And we've really loved being here and raising a family and being part of the community at large.
So when did you join the Belonging Co?
From the beginning. Yeah, my husband and I had been on staff at another local church for almost 10 years. I was leading worship, one of the worship leaders, and really heavily involved in that and helping run that department, and loved it. I thought I would be there for the rest of my life. I had no intentions of like ever like transitioning to another role. But in 2013, kind of towards the end of 2012, beginning of 2013, we just began in like one of those seasons where you start to feel like transition is coming and I don't know why and I don't know what. And we could not put our finger on it, but we just knew that we knew God was saying, I need you to take a step of faith and trust me. I have something new that I want you to be a part of, but I need you to like actually walk away from your current life, like your current role, your current position, your current title, all of the things. And I'm not going to show you the next steps until you do it. And I remember just being like, what, God? Like, I had actually just accepted the position at my old church to step in and run the whole department under one of the pastors and then be the one that was like running the worship department. And this was like what I had just really felt like I was called to do. And then God's like, nope, I want you to take a massive turn. And man, kudos to my senior pastors at our old church, because my husband and I just went, we just shared, we're like, this is what's happening over and over and over in like our quiet times as we're pressing in and asking the Lord. And we were like, it doesn't make sense to us on paper, but like, we feel like this deep, like it's an urgent conviction to like actually trust the Lord with this. And I remember just saying to my senior pastor, I was like, I'm asking for you to offer me the same trust that you have for me to step in and take the department. I'm asking that you give me that same level of trust that, like, God's asking me to do something that looks crazy, but I have to do it, or I feel like I'm being disobedient to the Lord. And my beautiful wow. pastors at the time were just like, yeah, it really doesn't make sense. But like, you've been a part of this house for so long. Like, if the Lord's asking you to do it, like, who are we to get in the way of the Lord? And they just so beautifully, like, released me from my position. And we just were kind of aimless for the next couple of months, going like, Lord, what are you doing?
Yeah, I was going to ask, how long were you in that waiting period?
So it was for a couple months, and we had these beautiful friends that had started going to this, like, bi-weekly gathering in these people's basement, and they kept inviting us during this time. But, like, I was going, we're just trying to figure out our bearings here. Like, I've just, like, stepped out of my role. I'm trying to figure out what God is asking me to do next. And I just didn't, like, have capacity to, like, do anything else. But our friends mm-hmm. had asked us so many times that it, you know, that point where it's like, now it's awkward. And if we don't go, like, our friendship's in jeopardy. Like, this is crossed over.
Yeah.
Like, we're avoiding them because we keep saying no. And I just said to my husband, I was like, let's just go to this thing. Let's get it out of the way. Like, just so that we don't have to keep saying no. And little did we know that that one yes to show up at this Bible study gathering of people would change literally the course of both our family's life and really impact the course of my life. And that basement was the basement of Alex and Henry Seeley. And they had just been gathering for about 6 months, just worshiping, praying, reading the word, preaching the word. And we walked in and our lives were never the same. And God really just knitted our hearts. And suddenly the picture was so clear. Like, we are called to whatever this thing is that God's doing. And at the time, they weren't even calling it a church. They had no intentions of making it a church. That wasn't even on the table. They were like, we're going to move to New York, California. But while we're here, we'll pour into you people. And I don't know, my husband and I just remember, we left that first night. And we said, I don't know what that was. I don't know what God is doing, but I know it's tied to why we just transitioned out of where we were and whatever God is doing in the future. Yeah. And, you know, we didn't know. No one knew at the time. It didn't even have a name. The Belonging Code, that didn't even actually exist. But man, that small, you know, moment of just saying, sure, we'll show up to this Bible study. It changed our lives. And you know, anyone who's followed the story, I wasn't really a songwriter. I had been a worship leader my whole life. I mean, I was from the time I was, I don't know, 12, 13, I was leading worship, but I didn't really write my first song until I was in my mid 30s.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And even then, like, the church that I was at, that I'd been at a long time, for a long time, songwriting wasn't really a thing at that point. Like, this is pre the era of, like, every church in America is
writing. Yeah, releasing their own music and writing songs.
That wasn't really a thing. And even more so, like, female worship leaders kind of being at the head of, you know, the kind of departments and really being influential in the discipleship and the pastoring of people.
Yep.
That was not a thing. That just wasn't.
Yeah.
So songwriting just wasn't a part of the culture at that point. But kind of towards my mid 30s, the you know, like 2008, 2009, I kind of started writing a few things, mostly just because a couple songs had just kind of come out of spontaneous worship at my old church. But when I was a part of the Belonging and we went and did our first, like, writing retreat as a church, and I'll probably get the dates wrong, so I can't remember if it was 2015 or 2016. I mean, up until that point of my life, with, like, this may be generous, I think maybe I had written 20 songs, like, at max. And those, like, that's 20 songs that I wrote. That's not 20 songs that were good.
Right.
I actually finished them. So when I wrote Peace Be Still, that was probably like my 21st, 22nd song to ever write in my whole life. And it is a massive testament to Henry Seeley and Mia Fields seeing something on me that was not fully developed by any means, but going, I think there's more that God has in her and for her, and let's just pull her in and like just make space for it. I wasn't a good songwriter that day. I can't tell you that I was a great songwriter the day we wrote Face Me Still, but yeah. I showed up and I offered what I had. And at the time it was very little, but God multiplied it. And I think God allowed something that was greater than my skill set in that season of time. Because he had a plan for what I was called to do. And that unlocked the door for me to kind of honestly later in life have an unlocked passion for going, I have such a heart for the church. I have such a heart for worship leaders. And now like there's this whole other avenue for me to be able to like give to the local church in a way that feels like uniquely designed for me. And it opened the door, and now I've written more than 20 songs, but at the time I hadn't. And I hope that encourages some of your people that are listening that are worship leaders. And it's so easy to think, you know, we do put like tangible limits on ourselves and we do put expiration dates on ourselves just in our humanity. But there are worship leaders that are sitting, you know, in their local church, you're in your mid 30s. You think there's no way that God could still like open another layer to what you feel called to do. But I'm living, breathing testament that like there just is no time frame that God puts on what he's called us to do. I think the only thing that ever limits us is when God asks us to do something and it seems foreign, right? It seems out of step with what we think it should look like. Me quitting my job and resigning and not taking over that department looks like it's 20 steps backwards. How will you ever fulfill what God's called you to do? But that one simple act of obedience, that one yes, that really hard yes in that season is what led me down a road that allowed God to do so much more than I ever could have imagined. So yeah, that's kind of
wild. That's a cool story. I did not know that. So
yeah,
you never actually really aspired to be like a songwriter artist? I'm a local like church worship leader? And
so when I was young, I mean, I definitely wanted to be an artist and I thought that that was what I would do. And I wanted to go pursue like commercial music. Like I had like I came up in an era where there was no like picture or framework for a female to be able to worship do artist. That in the church. Yeah, they just didn't exist. But when I was in my mid 20s, when I was about 25, those doors just had not opened. I thought they would, and they just never seemed to open. And I had a real heart to heart with the Lord. I'll never forget. It was my 25th birthday. And the Lord and I were just having like this real, you know, what am I doing with my life?
Right.
At a moment, this existential crisis of like, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? And I'll never forget, like the Lord just, again, it was a really pivotal moment in my life where the Lord asked me to walk away from something that made sense on paper and to stop pursuing being an artist. And the Lord was just like, I need you to trust me. Like I have a better path for you. I have a better plan for you. And when I stopped like making that kind of like my life's goal, and I really was like, okay, God, I'm open-handed. Like, what do you want me to do with, because I knew I could sing. So I was like, what do you want me to do with this? Like, clearly this is part of why you've put me on this earth. This isn't just like some random thing. Yeah. And little by little, suddenly the reality of like I had been in the local church and had been leading worship and been a part of every worship department that they offered or program, you know, whether it was youth or it was kids or it was leading at a camp, whatever it was, I was always like, sure, I'll help. I'll do that. And I had so separated those worlds in my mind. But at 25, God just really began to take me on this journey. And within a year's time, it was like suddenly all the pieces made more sense. And it's like, like I'm really called to be a part of the local church. Like I'm really, this is what my heart beats for. This is like actually what I'm passionate about, why I actually think the Lord has put me on this earth. And the way to advance the kingdom is actually to be someone in the local church that's really helping create cultures of worship. And that changed my life. And that's what I did from 25 to almost 35, 34 when I made that big change. Yeah.
Wow. And then when did you decide, I'm going to start actually releasing my own music? When was the first time you released your own music?
So there was this weird season of time right after I had my second daughter. I got asked randomly to go out on that. Well, let me tell you a funny story. Some people know this, some people don't know. But for a couple of years, I toured as a background singer with Natalie Grant. And this is the funniest story, which ties into being a part of the local church. I didn't have an EP. I didn't have a demo. I didn't have anything. And they called me because one of the girls in her management team went to my church. Yeah. She attended our church. So she heard me sing and lead worship every weekend. And she just said to Natalie's team, she was like, I don't know what that girl's doing with her life, but we should figure out and reach out to her. And
get her on tour. Yeah.
Yeah, would she come sing background vocals for us for a couple of shows? So I remember them calling me and asking me, and I was like, I don't have anything. Like, I have nothing. And I remember calling the sound guy from my local church, Garrett Hesla, coming in clutch and saying, Garrett, I'm getting ready to date myself. Can you burn me a CD?
Yeah, of you singing.
Of me leading worship on a Sunday morning. I was like, I don't have anything else. Yeah. And he was like, yeah. He's like, I can do that for you. So that is what I sent to Natalie Grant, which is me leading worship on Sunday morning.
Wow. Just and a raw mix, like from the board.
Raw mix from the board. Yeah. Like nothing else.
Yeah.
And sent it to her. And that is ended up what got me the job. Because she was like, you were singing live and it was good. And you she was like, and I needed someone who could sing live. I was like, I wasn't looking for, you know, a studio singer or whatever. So that was like one of my first kind of entries into this world of the music business. But again, like my path changed and I went into the local church. But then a couple of years later, I was about 5 years into like serving my church, being on staff there. And again, someone reached out to Natalie and was like, hey, we're looking for a worship leader to come do a bunch of conferences. Yeah. So she reached out again and she's like, hey, I threw your name in the hat. They might reach out to you. And I ended up doing that for a couple of years, going out and doing this conference. And so it kind of led to this like, well, maybe I should throw a couple songs on a CD because I'm out, I'm touring. And so it just was kind of like this natural little thing. I did this little EP and that was it. Like, I didn't think much more of it. And fast forward all these years, we're, you know, now I'm a part of the Belonging. I've really walked away from that. So much of my story, it's funny. So much of my story is more about God asking me to walk away from things and like me being willing to say no to things. Because after I did that, after I did those conferences and I was back home and a couple of years later, I was like, well, maybe I'll make another EP eventually. Like, maybe I'll just put out some more music. And I was in the process of that same year that I resigned from my old church position and we started being a part of the Belonging. And one of the beautiful things about that year is that God was doing such a deep work in my own heart. I had been in church life my whole life. I had been ministering my whole adult, kind of like college to adult life. Yeah. And I was tired. I was burnt out. I didn't realize like I had just been pouring out and pouring out and pouring out and not being really cognizant of how much like I actually needed to take some time and just allow the Lord to like replenish my soul and just not get to the point of burnout. And I, at the same time, I'd been kind of working loosely on making another project. And I felt like the Lord again said, hey, that project, I'm not in it. Like, it's fine. You can do it. But like, my hand's not on it. And I just remember going to my husband and being like, I don't think the Lord is on this. Like, I can't shake it. And I remember saying to him, it's the same thing I felt when God asked us to leave our church. This is about 18 months after that. And I said, this feels like the same way. It feels like this could be disobedience. And I would actually rather just lose the little bit of money that we've invested. Just like, honestly, in a way of like, I'd rather be on the safe side than the sorry side of like doing something and it just being so outside of God's hand. So I shelved that project. I never saw the light of day. We just stopped working
still,
on it. I just felt like
it's gone.
Still, I don't even have like, I couldn't even tell you where those songs are. Like they're somewhere on some hard drive in an attic, I'm sure. So by the time I was writing songs with The Belonging in 2017, a lot of years have gone by and God's done a lot of deep work in me. So I, at this point, like I was so in a place of contentment and just like, and honestly just so shocked that God had made another way for me to minister in the kingdom of God and minister the gospel through our church and leading worship and writing songs with our team. Like I wasn't really thinking beyond that, to be honest with you. But a couple of years went by and we kept thinking that someone was going to take Peace Be Still to radio because we kept getting calls about it and then it just would never happen. And I always was like, man, somebody should take that song to radio. Like I just think there's a whole audience of people that don't know this song exists. And I'll never forget Mia Fields, my co-writer. We go to The Belonging, we lead worship together. You know many of her songs, whether you know it or not, as worship leaders. And she called me up one day and she said, I have been praying. And she's like, you're supposed to take that song to radio. She's like, God has reserved it and saved it for you. And I was just like, I'm not an artist. Like, that doesn't even make sense. I remember saying, Mia, I don't even have a publishing deal. What in the world are you talking about? Like, and she's like, pray about it. She's like, I'm telling you, this is like God has asked you to do this. And I say that about how so many times in my life it was about God saying, me being willing to say no to something in order to like really move forward in what I felt like God was asking me to do. This was the first time that I felt like God was saying, I need you to say yes to something. And I really wrestled, like, and drug my feet. I spent a year, like, really kind of going, I don't know. I don't know if this is the Lord. I don't know if it's just, like, old desires that I just haven't, like, shut down enough. Like, I just, at this point, I'm 39 years old, and I'm going, I could care less about anybody knowing my name or putting, like, all I want to do is be in the will of God for my life. That's all that I cared about at that point. And I just couldn't shake it. I mean, a year later, I could not shake that every time I would like resist an open door, it was like the door would open wider. Or every time I would like try to shut it, it would just be like all of a sudden, whatever, you know, parameters I was putting on it, God would just blow those parameters off the table. And so I remember my husband eventually looking at me and he just said, have you considered that like God asked, like God is asking you to do this? I was like, maybe not enough. And because at this point, what had happened was since Mia had said that to me, all of the sudden, I took one step of faith and I recorded the song. That's it. That's all I did. I was like, okay, I'll go record the song and let's just then see. Sorry, I kind of left out a detail. I went, I recorded the song and then I did nothing. But the song started getting out to people. And all of a sudden, my phone just started ringing. I mean, every label in town wanted to meet with me. Every publisher in town wanted to meet with me. What are you doing? Da, 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 da. And I was like, well, I'm not doing anything. I don't really know what I'm doing. And so all of a sudden I had all these offers on the table. And that's what I was like dragging my feet on. But man, can I tell you about the timing of God? Because even though I dragged my feet all of that time, when I ultimately decided to sign my record deal, the way the timing went that I signed my record deal and then Peace Be Still was released to radio in February of 2020.
Wow.
I mean, how do you, you can't plan that. No, I don't know that the craziness of 2020 is going to happen. I don't know that people are going to be riddled with fear worldwide, like never, like we've never seen before. And like just one sweeping moment in our lifetime. And so it just goes to show, even in all of my, like, I don't know, and wondering and, you know, we can
see
like
that timing figured out.
He even God, like I've never those scriptures where it's like, God goes before you. Like those became so real to me when I could see that timing. So yeah, that's kind of how it happened.
That's amazing.
I'll be honest, even the first probably year and a half that I was signed to my record deal, it was still uncomfortable for me. I was trying to figure out like, what does this look like and how do I steward this and what do I want it to sound like? Because at this point, like I'm putting out songs with my church, The Belonging Company as well. And so, you know, the questions on how to steward my own music is it was a bigger, harder question for me to answer because I hadn't been working towards this for 15 years or 20 years. Which kind of leads me in a strange way to like where I'm at now, because I did my first two projects. I loved them. I think my first project was like Peace Be Still, kind of doing the radio version of that kind of gave a direction for that record. And I think it like satisfied and met like this thing in me from my childhood of just making the most beautiful studio record that felt worshipful, but felt artistic, all of those things. And I loved it. And then I made my EP, which was a bit of in the season of me trying to figure out like, where do I want to land? And like, most people won't hear of it. I can hear it in that record of me kind of going, I feel like I have two paths that I could go down. And what's it going to be? And I think that has always kind of been a wrestle for me because I have a big voice and I can sing big songs. And so it's easy to like maybe want to go down a more commercial road with my personal artistry. But my heart beats. Like I come alive when I'm singing corporate worship songs. And so I'm so grateful for those two records because they really helped me like dig in with the Lord about like, what is it really that you want me to do with this? Like, how am I supposed to steward this? And that became so clear in the last 2 years. And so I went to my label when it was time to kind of start thinking about the next project. And I was like, once again, that just very overwhelmingly, this is the Lord is telling me what to do and I have to do it. And so I went and I said, I want to make a real hard pivot, a very clear directional change. I want to make a live worship record and I really want to put my stake in the ground that even in my personal artistry and the music that I release, it's still going to be like, we want to really pivot and make sure that it's like, it's corporate. It's, it's a really worship driven sound. And so we did, we recorded, 11 songs and the first one released, last month and we've got so many more to come. And man, it's been the easiest like season of making and releasing music in my whole career so far. And I think that that's just a testament of like, this is what I'm called to do. Like this is the lane in which God's really called me. Cause this world of the church, the local church, and writing songs of theology for the church to sing, it is what I think about 24/7, you know, and I think to be able to have a record that represents that, I think everything was leading to this. And so I'm really excited.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, while we're on that topic, and because I do have a few questions about what you've already said, but while we're on the topic of your new record, let's talk about that. When is it coming out? And what's it called? And tell us anything you can about it.
Okay, yeah. Well, we think we know the title. I'm still like a little iffy on it, but I think we know the title.
You don't have to tell us then if it's still a secret.
I want to tell you the title. But we had the first song come out. It came out in June. We're going to release a radio version of it this month. Okay. And then the second song will come out in September. And then I may or may not have some other music coming out in other places as well around that time. And then we'll have a third song come out in October. I think it's October. And then a fourth song in January. And then the record will come out in February. Yeah.
We're going to slow roll it.
Yeah, we've never done this before, so it's a different approach. But, you know, I think you know as well as I do, worship music takes longer to get to people. And I think everyone in my label and my team, we just felt like I really poured my heart and soul into this record. And we felt like we didn't really want to just throw it out. We really wanted to take our time and let these songs have some life. The exciting thing is I'll be getting to do a lot of them on the road. I'm touring a lot this fall. Okay. So we'll have a chance to even do some of the new ones. But we've already been testing, like doing them out on the road. And it's the most incredible thing to do as a worship leader. I'm sure artists that do kind of traditional commercial music feel the same way, but to write a song that's for the church and to watch it come alive in the church the way you yeah. felt God give you vision for it.
Yeah.
It is one of the most like incredible things, because you realize like in and of my own self, like I can't do that. Like that's just really a true picture of like partnership with the Lord, where yeah. he's like, I'm going to give you like a tiny little glimpse of what I'm calling you to do with this song. And then you steward your portion and then I'll steward mine. And so it's been really yeah. fun and beautiful to watch some of these songs come alive on the road, the way we really hoped and prayed that they would for people.
Do you think it's easier or harder to do a live album than a studio album?
Okay. It's harder and easier in different ways. So like on a studio album, you can do anything up until the last minute.
Yeah.
Right. Like you're like, you can make a million changes until the moment that you think it's like done.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's also harder, I will say, as a worship leader, to know if your instincts in the studio are going to translate live.
Yeah.
Because it's really harder to kind of, it's amazing how being in the studio can really impact the sonic kind of picture. Mm-hmm. And then you find yourself out on the road and you're like, man, this feels amazing on the record, but it's not working. It doesn't work live. It's yeah. like just not print. And so you find yourself reimagining those right. songs, which I would even encourage a lot of worship leaders that are listening. Like just because you love a song and you want to do it in your local yeah. church, like you don't have to do it the way you heard it on the record. Like
yeah.
do it, like keep the, obviously yeah. the chord structure of the song and the integrity of it to the point that it matters. But like do what you need to do with that song in your yeah. church services that serves your church and serves what's happening yeah. there. Like just because there's some 15, you know, or not 15, yeah. but there's like a 15, 16 bar instrumental, that may not make yeah. sense in your set list. Just like it doesn't even sometimes for our own songs.
How did you know your 11 songs were going to work live? Did you test them out beforehand, or?
I mean, a little bit we did. I mean, one of the things that I loved is that I brought my band that I have been leading worship with for 10 years. Most of the guys from my church, yeah. and guys who are all live worship leaders, like worship guys. So my producer yeah. was Austin Davis. You know, yeah. people will know him from, he's produced several of the Belonging records, yeah. Cody's live record, Carrie's live record. He's done a lot with Passion. He wrote Firm Foundation. Like, so not only is like he a true, like Austin yeah. is the most incredible drummer, and he's also a worship leader on the drums, yeah. truly.
So they understand like what works.
So we, yes. And we've also done multiple albums together for our church, and
yeah.
we've also led worship together for 10 years.
Yeah.
And it is amazing. I think when you say we're making a live worship record, it is funny how subconsciously everyone's metric and target, it just changes subconsciously. The way you structure, the way you think yeah. about it, the way you make choices, even in the writing yeah. room, because yeah, suddenly you are thinking about how does this work live? And every decision mm-hmm. was made from the lens of, can another worship leader do this? Can yeah. another church do this? Yeah. And not 100% of the decisions are made for that, because then it wouldn't be a Hope Darst yeah. record. Yeah. But you are, it is always part of the lens, where I think yeah. in a studio album for people, it's very easy to subtly over time, like lose that metric and lose that target. Cause you kind of just yeah. get lost in what creatively yeah. just sounds good and feels good and what you can do with your voice yeah. or the songs. So I think having a lot of years of making records together for our local church
yeah.
really made a significant yeah. difference.
Yeah, you had a band who understood worship.
Yeah.
Do you play much with McKendry Tucker?
Oh, yeah. He played on this. Yeah.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Yeah.
He's awesome. I had him produce. He did 5 songs for me. He did a little EP for me. And I had spent so much time with him. He's such an amazing guy.
He's incredible. So we went away for 5 days in December, and we locked ourselves in the studios and we just did pre-pro on these songs. Wow. And there was a song that we brought into pre-pro, and everyone was like, we love this song.
Yeah.
This song should be saved for a studio record. Like we just instinctively knew. You can't always like put your finger on it. We just knew.
Yeah.
And so then when we went into the time for the record, we've already spent 5 days in pre-pro. The guys have been listening to the pre-pro. I've been listening to it now for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, we were making little tweaks all along the way. And then when we got into the week of the recording, we still had a couple of days of pre-pro. So, you know, I think too, like my first song, Hands of the Healer, that was probably one of the biggest question marks in my mind. Cause when I wrote it, I didn't write it for a live record.
Interesting.
And I had written it 3 years ago and we ended up not putting it on a record. And I felt like the Lord asked me to hold off on it. I didn't really fully understand why at the time. Now it makes total sense. We've been walking through a journey with our daughter for the last 3 years. She's had to have a lot of surgeries on her knee and different things. And she lives with chronic pain and we don't really have a lot of solutions or answers. And all of a sudden a song that I wrote 3 years ago before we were on this journey makes a lot of sense now. And like, I'm having to sing it from a posture of like, I have to declare this over my kid and over like my own, like, heart as we just walk out the believing for healing. It was probably the one song that I had the biggest question mark about, like, can we make this feel like it will work in a corporate worship set? That was my biggest question mark. And it was I remember sending the Dropbox to Austin, you know, your initial Dropbox that has 40, 50 songs in it. And he came back and he was like, this is my favorite song off the whole record. He's like, I cannot wait to produce this. This is going to be amazing. So that was like, for me, the only song that I was like, can this work? And I feel like we found a way to really make that song feel incredible for the church. That feels fresh and it feels different, but it's not so different that like, you can't imagine it. It's just a great song to put in your set as a number one or a number, probably just a number one, or to end your set with it if you wanted to.
Is that the song you're most excited about? Like, is there one that you really hope worship leaders are like, oh, I hope they grab a hold of this one?
I mean, that funny enough, we had a call this morning because we're trying to pick like all the songs that we're going to release. Yeah. And we all are just like, we have more songs than we know what to do with. Like, and that is like the greatest feeling. There is another song that I've been doing on the road. I think every worship leader should be really excited
because
it's a number one and number two, which I think are the hardest songs to find. It's called What the Lord Has Done. And it's probably one of my most favorite songs to lead in a really long time. It just feels timeless and it feels just so good. And there's a lot of just scripture in it, which I really love. There's a couple.
Yeah, of course. There's got to be.
This is my first project that I ever did a cover. So I've never done a cover. But I really, 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 really love the Abby Gamboa's An Upper Room song, Give Me Jesus. And I'd been doing it live on the road anyways. And so when we went to go do this record, I was like, man, I really want to do a cover of that song. There's another one called The Blood of Jesus that I think really, we actually did it a couple years in a row at The Belonging for Easter. And they were very kind and gracious and that they let me hold on to it. They wanted to put it on some previous albums. And I was just like, it was the first time I ever said, can I just hold this one back? I was like, I really think I'm going to end up doing an album and I'd love to have this song. And it's a really beautiful, big ballad. I think any church could do it. And then there's a song called You Can that I wrote for my daughter that is just, I wrote it with Chris Davenport and Mitch Wong. I mean, the list is, it's endless. Like,
those are great writers.
I wrote a song called Table of the Lord with Rita Springer and Ben Kopelman. That is just, it's a moment on the record that there wasn't a dry eye in the house because it just really invites people into an intimate space. And then there's a song Austin and I wrote with Stephanie Gretzinger called Worth It All. That is one of my favorite songs I've ever written. I mean, the list is long.
That's awesome. So, is there a video of it too? Did you guys do video of all 11 songs?
So we did live video for the whole record. So everything will have a video that goes with it. One of the things that I'm really, and we can probably talk sidebar about this, but I really, one of the questions that we've been circling around is like, how do we resource the church beyond just handing them a song and beyond handing them a chart? So we've been like kind of really as a team brainstorming about the things that kind of we see missing maybe in the package, if you will, when songs are being released. Because obviously they can get stems. They know how to get that from Loop Community. They know how to hear it on the DSPs. They know where to find a chart. But there's a couple other things that I was thinking about in all the years when I was on staff at a church where I was like, man, this would have been a great resource to have with the song. So there's some things that we're just dreaming about as a team, because I'm just like, how do we just help the church? Like, to actually use them, to know how to use them, to know where to use them and when to use these songs. And again, like the Blood of Jesus on this record, the song in and of itself is actually a pretty traditional format for the song. Yeah. But when we recorded it live, I just spontaneously just kind of went into like a reprise of it, which if anyone has kind of seen me lead with the belonging or anything, like that is kind of part of how I am as a live worship leader. Not everybody's going to be able to do that, but we did try to create it post where you can hear like, you can end the song here. And if your church is a church that like, you like to get a little rowdy, you can, there's a way you can extend this song too. And I don't know, I feel like I'm really passionate about helping worship leaders know how to incorporate songs because you can just love a song and think the song is great and then still feel like, but I don't know how to fit it in our set. I don't know how to make it work with our church. Yeah. And can it just work on a guitar? Can it just work with, you know, a small band. So this record, I feel like really offers everything.
Yeah.
Truly. It offers everything from if you are at a mega church with thousands of people, these songs are going to work. But I've also been doing these songs on an acoustic guitar with a piano player in some settings, and they work just as well. And I think, and even on the record, not every song is at a 10. Yeah. So I think hopefully it'll really serve the church well.
That's
my hope anyways. That's my prayer.
Well, I have one final question for you, and it's related to, so if there's a worship leader watching this that they want to start releasing their own music, maybe they already have a handful of songs written, like how would you suggest they get started?
Well, I think if you are a worship leader that's on a team or you're a worship pastor, either one, I think first and foremost, like bring the song to your, like if you're on the team, bring the song to your worship pastor. If you're a worship pastor, maybe play the song for your pastors. And in that case, for the worship pastor, like if they're willing to give you a shot, try leading it at your church and like just see how it works. If you're on the worship team, maybe you ask the worship pastor, are they open to it? Are they, you know, and it doesn't have to be on the main service. Yeah. Like it could be like, can I lead in the college ministry? Can I lead in kids? Can I lead in youth? Whatever. And can I test this song out? That's like a really just kind of everyday practical way. I think if you are someone beyond that, because I don't think the church has to be your only avenue to get music out if you really feel called to that. But I do think that that's part of what you have to know. Like you have to really do a good inventory of your own heart and ask yourself, what do I actually feel called to do? Do I actually feel called to be in local ministry who may have songs occasionally here and there, and I just want to be able to serve the church? Or do I actually have a real desire to do this professionally? And I think you have to settle and resolve that in your own heart, because what can happen is when that lives in the in-between, people then can try to make the church their avenue, and the church isn't there to give you an avenue into a music career. The church is there to build the body. And so I think you have to be okay with like, it's okay if what you want to do is release music. There's nothing wrong with that. Like if that's what God's calling you to do, just go do it. But don't feel pressure that the church has to be the answer to that. So in that regard, go start just singing those songs on a video, on your Instagram page or on YouTube.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed how far that can go. Throw it up on a SoundCloud. But I think practically too, I would just say yes. Say yes to every open door that God gives you. So whether that's, oh, I got invited to go sing a couple songs at a coffee shop, say yes. It's not too small. Like from the beginning, I just said yes to everything. Whether that was serving on the back row of a choir in a choir room, or that was leading worship on a Sunday morning, or it was going and doing, you know, a worship night at a church for 50 people. It didn't matter because I felt called to do that. Mm-hmm. And God chose the doors and the rooms that he put me in, but I felt called to do it regardless of all that. I hope that maybe answers the question.
I love that. Because, you know, there is that whole just kind of movement, it felt like, of just like, you need to say no more to things. Like, say no. Like, say yes to the right thing. But I agree with you on that. That's something I've been thinking about recently, is that just say yes to more, actually.
Say as long as it's yes.
Because you never know what one little thing is going to open up to another thing.
You don't know. And I also think, as long as it's not immoral and illegal. Because we're talking about for somebody who's early on. I mean, obviously the longer you're in something, the more you do have to steward your yes and your no, because there's more that's coming with that. And you have to be really in tune with what the Lord is asking you to do and not do. But when you're in the beginning and you're either young in age or just young and like just starting out, like, I think there is a humility that God is looking for in worship leaders or artists, either one, to be like, nothing is too small, nothing is too insignificant, because the posture of my heart is that I want to worship the Lord, and I want to invite people into a space where they can worship the Lord. And if that is not really your desire, it's going to come out really quick when you start to look and start to gauge, well, this event feels significant and this event doesn't feel significant. And this feels like, that's a dangerous way to start building how you discern what God is asking you to do. Because then, let's just say God blows your mind and your ministry explodes. Well, I don't ever want my discernment to be, well, God is clearly calling me to do this because this event is 10,000 people. When actually maybe God's going, I don't want you to go take that event. I want you to go take this little event with 100 women in the middle of Pennsylvania, because that is actually what I've called you to do, and there's going to be fruit on it. So you have to be really careful with what your metric is from the very beginning, so that stays a really pure metric. And I think God is always about humility. Mm-hmm. And I think that helps keep your discernment more on, you know what, I'm just honored to be here. And I don't mean that to the point of like, you're honored to be there and you're being taken advantage of. But I think just doing it from a place like, let's see what God does.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so great. Well, Hope, we are very much looking forward to the album.
There is the single
out though. So people need to go listen to that.
It's out. I think you'll have the tracks. It's on Loop Community.
Yep. It's on Loop Community.
It's on CCLI. You guys can download all of the things. We've got some more resources that are going to be coming out soon to help support that as well. I'm really excited. Thanks for chatting.
Yeah thanks for
I'm
sharing.
I'm so grateful for you guys. Man, 15 years ago, this didn't exist. And I remember thinking, was just a way for us to have a baseline because our bass player is sick and we don't have a backup.
Yep. I know. It's changed so much in 10, 15 years. It's unbelievable how much it's changed.
And what a gift. What a gift to the local church. So I'm just really grateful for you guys.
That's
so
awesome.
Thank you.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for spending your time with us. And great to meet you.
So nice to meet
you. And tell McKendry I said hello. Give him a big hug.
I will. I absolutely will.
All right. Blessings. All right, everybody. Great conversation with Hope Darst. Make sure you go listen to her latest single. Get the tracks, Alt Loop Community. Go to Song Select. Get a chord chart. So glad. So great to talk with Hope Darst today. Hope that this was encouraging to you. Write down in the comments, what's one thing you're walking away from this conversation carrying? What's one thing that you're going to be thinking about over the next week? So anyways, hope you guys have a blessed week. We'll see you next time.